another awesome, and I would say somewhat surprising, crystal. Message 11 is entitled, The Intrinsic Significance of Ezra's Ministry and Nehemiah's Leadership. I don't think this is surprising because we are studying the books of Ezra and Nehemiah. To build up the church as the house of God and the kingdom of God. That should not be a surprise either, because we have seen quite much about this week. But this last part, I don't know if you're surprised by this, by living out and working out the new Jerusalem. So where in Ezra and Nehemiah do we see the new Jerusalem? Actually, I hope within an hour you'll see it's right there. Well, this message is a conclusion of all the messages thus far on Ezra and Nehemiah. But we're going to see this with or in the view of Brother Lee's consummate and great vision of living out and working out the new Jerusalem. And actually, I hope, even just in a few minutes, you will see, oh, I didn't realize it's right there in front of me. It's right there. Thank the Lord for the ministry of the age. You know, the ministry is an opener. This is a word that our brother used about the ministry. People would accuse, even slander, our brother and us, that we take the words of the ministry, the life studies, the ministry publications, on equal footing with the Bible, and even to replace the Bible. No, we absolutely reject. We reject that. The ministry opens the Bible. Opens the Bible. Then through the help of the ministry of the age, and I hope we will see, this is not just the ministry of Brother Lee, but it's the New Testament ministry, of which our brother's ministry is a great part, as well as Brother Lee, but so many before. Because we have inherited an all-inclusive vision. An all-inclusive vision. And the ministry opens the Word so that now you go to the Word and you can see something there for yourself. Isn't that marvelous? Our brother, in 1994, made this statement. I'll give you the source. Practical Points Concerning Blending is a publication among us. This is outstanding and so significant. After my study of the Bible for the past 69 years, can you imagine? After my study of the Bible for the past 69 years, what have I seen? What have I seen? He's going to talk about one thing, but he's talking about the whole, all of the scriptures. What have I seen? I would say that I have seen the new Jerusalem. This is my vision. This is my revelation. And this is my ministry. Amen. And I like to say this. This is my vision. I don't have as broad yet as what he had, but I think I can say, this is my vision. And this is increasingly, day after day more, my revelation. And I want to say, absolutely, this is also my ministry. I don't want another ministry. I only want the ministry that lives out and works out New Jerusalem. Last night, we gave Brother Lee gave an example in the book, The Vision of the Age, concerning this scroll. You remember that? The river scene at Qingming Festival. We ran out of time. But today we have a lot of time. So I'm going to ask, brothers, can you come? Yeah. Yeah. Don't ah too much. We're not going to spend that much time. And I don't even have time to open the whole scroll. This is, yeah. Oh, yeah, here. Here, here. You show us how to do it. Please come quickly. Please come quickly. I didn't really mean we have a lot of time. I mean we have enough time. Yeah. Yeah. Sorry, I the brothers were set up last night, but they were not so well set up. Yeah, yeah. Slow, slow, slow. No. Come on up. Come on up. Okay. Come on up. I think you should do it higher. A little higher. Yeah, yeah. Stop. Okay. We don't have time. It's very long. It's probably about 15 to 17 feet long. But this is what Brother Lee's point was. Don't be distracted by the illustration. Get the point. Okay, get the point. Brother Dennis perfected these from years ago. He told me, sometimes you give illustrations and people remember the illustration. They don't remember the point. He washed my feet. Yeah. So please don't do that today. Okay. There's a scene here. This is life in China 1,000 years ago. 1,000 plus, right? 1,000 plus years ago. And so here's a scene. And then here's a scene. Oh, there's something going on here. There's a little. I don't mean we're not going to zoom in, but there's a crowd here. There's families here. You can see farming. You can see trade going on, scene by scene by scene. Oh, it continues until you enter into a city. And Brother Lee's point is, you can't just take one scene and say, that's life in China. That's logical, right? You need the whole vision. You need the whole vision. And that's what we have inherited through the Word. Remember, he said, we have our river scene. What is our river scene? Oh, you open the book and you can see Genesis 1 and 2. Genesis 1 and 2. But as you go through, thank you, brothers. I think that's good enough. It's good enough. Go his way. Thank you. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. You won't be distracted by that, right? You'll come back. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. We have our river scene. I still remember, I was a teenager when I first heard these words, that what do we see in Genesis 1 and 2? We see God. We see man. We see a tree. We see a river. We see a marriage. What do we see in Revelation 21 and 22? We see God. We see man. We see a tree. We see a river. We see a marriage. Oh, I still remember. I was in that meeting. I was like, oh. I was just, something within me was, the Bible. The Bible is so wonderful. I was only 15 years old. But my appreciation for the Word. Oh, I didn't see that. I want to see that. And then through the help of the brothers and through conferences and trainings, we can see God's purpose, God's economy. We see life in building. And we see that what? In Genesis. We see it in Exodus. We see it in Psalms. We see it in the prophets. We see it in the New Testament. We see it in the Gospels. The Gospel of John is a book of life and building. And it connects to Revelation. It's one book. Amen. That's our river scene. Amen. And this didn't start with us. the Lord raised up his faithful ones there in the what history calls the Reformation. Even the, not just Martin Luther, other faithful ones that are lesser known. And the Lord showed them things. And through the centuries. But the one unique thing, especially concerning our dear brother Watchman Nee, is that he had the way to bring everything together. And to realize we're standing on the shoulders of so many who have gone before. So this is not replacing, this is not putting them aside. This is honoring them and building further. That's our river scene. But then our brothers, Brother Nee, and our dear Brother Lee, Brother Witness Lee, they saw more. And it was not until later, even though he mentioned the New Jerusalem here and there and brought out things. But he told us it was not until those days that before him was this view, the New Jerusalem. And then with that view, you look at nearly anything on our scroll. Do you understand my language? And you can see everything points to the New Jerusalem. Does it not say about Abraham in Hebrews 11 that he waited for the city that has the foundations, whose architect and maker is God? Does it not say that those faithful ones later in Hebrews 11, they were strangers and sojourners. They did not have the roots in this earth. They were waiting for a better country. Amen. That's New Jerusalem. Amen. That's our scroll. And dear brothers and sisters, that's the vision we all need to have. So that we pick up any book of the Bible with the help of our brothers and we see the whole view. The whole view. Surely you get something from this book and that book and some help and some points, but you realize everything is for living out and working out New Jerusalem. And our brother at the end, he told us this is the only thing he wants to do, and he expected that all his co-workers would only do this. Amen. He fellowshiped with us this. He helped us to see this, that every believer should be a little New Jerusalem. Amen. I have to confess, I was saved into the Brethren Assemblies, Brethren Denominations. And before I was even born, my mother and my sister, they were saved and they were shepherded there. And we owe those saints very much for salvation and for shepherding and for a love of the Bible. A love of the Bible and a desire to live for the Lord and share the gospel. We did receive that from them. But all I got concerning New Jerusalem there was, I've got a mansion just over the hilltop. Anyone know this song? Do you know this song, Brother Bill? In that bright land where we'll never grow. Oh, I'm sorry for the translators. Forgive me. It talked about walking on the streets, plural. The streets. We didn't even realize there's only one street. But everything physical and everything future, everything objective. No thought that today we live out and work out New Jerusalem. But every one of us, every saint, we not only should be, we are a little New Jerusalem. What does that mean? That means in your life, in my life, there should be firstly a throne. There should be a throne. I don't decide things by myself. I don't decide. I don't even decide by myself which tie to wear. Should I have ice cream or not? I like ice cream. Vanilla. But sometimes the throne says, no. There should be a throne in our life, prevalent all the time. And out from the throne, there's a river. And so when I go along with the throne, the flow continues. And when I disagree with the throne doesn't say anything. He just stops flowing. Do you have this experience? Of course you have this experience, because you're a little New Jerusalem. And with the throne, there's a tree, and the tree is with us everywhere. And sometimes we are supplied, sometimes we're not, and we have to wonder, why am I not? Oh, I know why I'm not supplied. Because I got off of the golden way. Because all of us should have a street, a golden street in our lives, prevalent. And we always walk the way of the golden street, which is simply the divine nature that's in our spirit. And that's spreading in our being. There should be a pathway of gold, the divine nature. And there are some things in the divine nature, just like with little children, if you give them something salty, but if you give them something sweet, there's something spontaneous. Well, in our divine nature, oh, if we touch something common, unholy, there's something that doesn't want that. If we stay on the pathway, so sweet. The tree of life, so sweet the fruit. And all of us should have a wall. All of us should have a wall. How high is your wall? I trust that for each of us, our wall is higher today than it was this past Monday. Because of more truth. Because of more light. You know, the wall of the New Jerusalem was 144 cubits high. You know, that's about 216 feet. That's 20 plus stories. That's a high wall, keeping a lot of things out. And you take the measurement, 12,000 stadia. You know what that is? That's approximately 1,364 miles. The stadia being about 600 feet, right? That's, the things of the world, they try to get in, but they're trying to find a way. You can't get around it. And you can't get over it. Because it should be that because I'm a little New Jerusalem, I have a high wall. And every local church should be a miniature of the New Jerusalem. So in the church, the elders are not the kings. There's a throne. There's a throne. And he lets his administration be known through the brothers. The brothers go to the Lord. And the brothers, when they are representing the Lord, they also supply the saints. Because from the river, from the throne, there's a river. That should be the normal church life. Even brothers, I mentioned something like this in the elders' training. Brothers, even when we give announcements, there should be a river and a tree. We should be supplying the saints. Maybe we're mentioning some direction for a coming conference or an event. That's from the throne. But as we're speaking, we should deliver that message with the river and the tree. And there's a golden way. You know, and there's a high wall. Every local church. That's our river scene. Do you get my language now? That's our river scene. Second Corinthians, we are familiar with this verse. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, because we do not regard the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Dear brothers and sisters, we are people of faith, so we can see the eternal things, the things that are not seen. We should not walk by sight, by appearance, by the things that govern, by the things around us. We should walk by faith. And we should, it says, has this word, regard the things that are not seen. Regard. We should regard the eternal things more than the seen things. You know, for regard, this word in the ASV 1901 is simply look at. Look at the eternal things. Even I think the King James is the same. We look at all these things, should be so real to us and can be real to us. But I come back to Jeremiah 15:19. We have to choose the precious things over the worthless things. We have to have a heart for these things, to see these things, so that these things are not theoretical, but in our lives as our experience. I hope New Jerusalem would not be just something hard for us to grasp. You have a throne. You have the river. You have the tree. You have the golden way. And you have a wall. So what is this New Jerusalem? We need to have the vision of eternity. The vision. We're not governed by the news. We're not governed by the political atmosphere in this nation or in any nation. We have a vision of eternity. That governs us, that directs us, and that controls us. The vision of eternity is just the vision of the New Jerusalem. And then we have a life of eternity. Can you imagine? You're a student. You just go to school. You're there getting your degree. Maybe you're in high school. Maybe you're in junior high. In 7th and 8th grade. But a 7th and 8th grader can have a life of eternity. Yeah. Mommy, home with the children. And yes, it seems chaotic. But in the midst of that, you can be living the life of eternity. Yeah. Right there. Right there. There's a throne. The river is still there. You may have missed it. Well, it's okay. There's a lamb on the throne. Just repent. And the flow continues. And there'll be a supply so that you can have the life of eternity, which is the living out of the New Jerusalem. And then in all our service, we should have the work of eternity, which is working out this New Jerusalem. Saints, to live this life of eternity, to live out the New Jerusalem, is simply that we are becoming this New Jerusalem. And then to work out, to do the work of eternity, our service, all our service should fall under this category. This is our building New Jerusalem. And it's with this view that we come to this outline. Okay, now, this outline, I want to let you know the structure of this outline. Six important words, which I think many of us are already familiar with. We mentioned this, I think it was in message six, that three words embody the ministry of Ezra. Okay? And this is in point one here. They are purification, education, and reconstitution. And we've seen this in the prior messages. And then Nehemiah's leadership, the intrinsic significance of Nehemiah's leadership is embodied in these three words, which I think we're very touched with: separation, protection, expression. Okay, so how about we say these six words all together? Okay, the first three are creation, education, reconstitution. And then the next three, separation. Okay. In point one, we present this, right? We'll present this. And there's a linking to the New Jerusalem. In point two, we go through these six words again. And I hope that we will be able to see the significance of each of these words. Oh, it's just there, built into New Jerusalem. So that means Ezra's ministry consummates in the New Jerusalem. And Nehemiah's leadership consummates in the New Jerusalem. So Ezra was building New Jerusalem. Nehemiah, by his leadership, was there living out and working out New Jerusalem. Then we'll come back again, and the body, the great part of this, of the outline, the greater part of the outline, is we will go word by word, point by point, to apply each of these six to our experience. Okay, let's start with, let's go to Roman 1. Well, I'll read to you the title first, but the title is repeated in Roman 1. The title: the intrinsic significance of Ezra's ministry and Nehemiah's leadership to build up the church as the house of God and the kingdom of God by living out and working out the New Jerusalem. Roman 1. The intrinsic significance of Ezra's ministry is embodied in the words purification, education, and reconstitution. The intrinsic significance of Nehemiah's leadership is embodied in the words separation, protection, and expression. We need to cooperate with the Lord in His heavenly ministry to build up the church as the house of God and the kingdom of God by living out and working out the New Jerusalem according to this intrinsic significance. Amen. Okay, number two, Roman 2. To live and serve God according to the vision of the age, in the ministry of the age, is to live out and work out the New Jerusalem. The building work of the wall was jasper, and the city was pure gold, like clear glass. And the subpoints develop this matter. A. The city being pure gold, like clear glass, signifies our need of purification with God in His holy nature and of enlightenment through education by applying the Bible teachings to our mind for the renewing and enlightenment of our mind to make us clear with the thoughts, considerations, and ways of God. So do you see? The New Jerusalem is pure. Right? It's pure. Pure gold. How do we get there? We need the purification that is there in Ezra and Nehemiah. Do you see that link? That experience That experience brings us to the consummation. In the same way, New Jerusalem is a city of light. It is a lampstand. What is the light? Actually, that's the education through the Word of God. We need the kind of educating through the Word that enlightens people. I mentioned before Ezra came, all those returned captives, did they not have the books of Moses? Yet, it seems like zero effect on it. No effect. It needed a priestly scribe to come, not to speak his own word, not to invent something, but merely to open the word and read the word. What an effect it had on the people. That education was actually an enlightenment. Was an enlightenment. And there was a wonderful response. We need the same. Okay, B. This is from 21:18, Revelation 21:18. The building work, this phrase, the building work, is God's unique work for our reconstitution with the triune God so that we may be rebuilt with him and minister him into others, for him to build himself into our being, to make them beings in the new Jerusalem. I mentioned before about Genesis 1 and 2 and Revelation 21 and 22. In Genesis 1 and 2, we have all those items, right? But there's no building. There's material, but it's a garden. But in Revelation 21 and 22, all those materials are built. There's a construction. It says in Hebrews that the architect and maker of this city is God. So, certainly, you see the constitution. Because in Genesis 1 and 2, you have man, and then there's the tree of life, and then there's the river as separate entities. But the whole scripture shows us it is God's desire to get that tree of life into that man. And in John 4, it talks about there's a fountain, right? In John 7, there are rivers. So, when this man is constituted with the tree and the river, then you have a building. Okay. So, do you see Ezra's ministry? It leads to New Jerusalem, the experience of New Jerusalem. See, the city with its wall signifies the New Jerusalem as the eternal kingdom of God, under the headship of God, for the separation of God's people and the protection of God's interests. Of course, we've seen quite much about this matter of separation and protection. I don't think I have to say too much here. D, the wall of the city being jasper, God's life in its richness, and the city being gold, God's divine nature, reveal that God's eternal economy is to make us the same as he is in life and in nature, but not in the Godhead, for his unique expression. So again, with New Jerusalem, we see separation, protection, expression, all related to the wall. So if it's related to the wall, there's a connection with who? Nehemiah. Nehemiah is the one that built the wall. And there needs to be a fighting for this wall so that this wall can be built. So our brother presented the other night, there are breaches. There are breaches in the wall. And we need to learn how to fill the breach and build the wall. We'll say more in the following points. But I'd like to say something about jasper here. in Revelation 4:3, says, "And he who was sitting," this was on the throne, "he who was sitting was like jasper stone." Do you know the Lord sitting on the throne has the appearance of jasper? That's Revelation 4:3. And then in Revelation 21:11, it says, "Having the glory of God, her light was like a most precious stone, like a jasper stone, as clear as crystal." Verse 18, "And the building work of its wall was jasper." So what does that show? That shows that when you look at the wall of the New Jerusalem, yes, on one hand, it's for separation and protection, but it's green. The one sitting on the throne is expressed through the walls. The expression is neither you nor me, but the one on the throne. So the wall is for expression. The wall is for expression. Anyway, do you see the six words? That embody the ministry of Ezra, the leadership of Nehemiah, but so clear in Revelation 21 and 22. Okay, now we come back, our third pass through, to go through word by word with some application. Romans 3. To live out and work out the New Jerusalem is to live and serve in the intrinsic significance of Ezra's ministry and Nehemiah's leadership. We need to stay in the process of being purified from all mixture, taking the Lord and the interest of his eternal economy as our unique goal. We can be purified through the process of God's enlightenment, exposure, and judgment, through the termination and elimination of the cross, through the cleansing and washing of the blood, and through the flowing and saturating of the Spirit. What does this mean? Saints, this is just a description of spending time with the seven eyes. Unless we spend time with the Lord in private and with his word, we will not be able to continue in the process of purification. The more we spend time with the Lord and through the word are open to receive the enlightenment and even the exposure and the judgment and have the grace not to reason it away, we can experience the cleansing and washing of the blood and the flowing of the saturating Spirit. 2 says, we can be purified through the washing process of the water of life in God's pure word. The more a person is in the word of God, the purer he becomes. Amen. Well, we have these wonderful verses. I'll just read a couple of them. Psalm 12:6. The words of Jehovah are pure words. Silver refined in a furnace on the earth, purified seven times. When we touch the pure word, he makes us pure. Psalm 119:9. With what should a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. This verse, the day I got baptized when I was 12, my sister and her husband gave me a new Bible. And this was one of the verses in the dedication. Also verse 11, your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Since then, and so these verses have been before me, correcting me, exposing me, judging me, bringing me back to the track. Oh, saints, Our only hope is the Word. We must be in the Word. But then also, when we have this prayer, Lord, examine me. We have this verse here, Psalm 139. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Actually, we may pray that in our personal time, and not much happens. But it doesn't mean the Lord didn't hear that prayer. Later in the day, whether in family life, church life, situations happen. For what? Actually, that's the Lord answering the prayer. To purify us. If we remain open, the Lord will be able to continue that work of purification in our daily lives. I tell you, one place to be purified is the church life. Is in the church service, coordinating with others. And sometimes we have to admit it's not so pleasant. But I tell you, if we are faithful to be in the Word, in the pure Word, we will have more supply to say amen when we face those awkward, uncomfortable situations where it seems like Romans 8:28 is not working today. You know Romans 8:28? We know that God causes all things to work together for good. You say, you might feel, Lord, you're not applying this word. Actually, He very much is. It's just our definition of good is different than His. Psalm 119, 140. Your word is very pure. Amen. Okay, point three. Leviticus 19:19 reveals that God wants everything to be according to the kind, without any mixture. Well, I tell you, when I was a young believer, I started reading the Bible, and I wondered why so much time is spent in the law about don't mix this animal with that animal. Don't mix this seed with that seed. Even your clothing should not have different kinds of material. And I'm thinking, Lord, you're just too picky. And I didn't understand why even these verses are worthy to be scripture. Oh, but I tell you, with the river view, with the river scene, when you have the view of the whole Bible, of what God is doing, oh, every one of these verses is too meaningful. Too meaningful. The Lord wants purity. Because the Lord is after a pure bride. Okay, the subpoints. A. Breeding cattle without mixture signifies that life is not allowed to be mixed. Those living by the life of God must not live by the flesh. Remember, the principle of Babylon is mixture. Mixing the things of God with the things of the world and mixing the things of the flesh with the things of the spirit. We want purity. B. Sowing seed without mixture signifies that in the ministry of the word, only one kind of seed, one kind of teaching should be sown. All ministry is a kind of sowing. It's a kind of sowing. In the books of Timothy and Titus, Paul talks about healthy words, which implies there could be some unhealthy words. We should restrict ourselves to minister God's New Testament economy, just as what Paul charged Timothy. See, making a garment without mixing materials signifies that our conduct is not allowed to be mixed. Those living in the life of the New Testament should not live by the ordinances of the Old Testament. And those who belong to the Lord should not live according to the custom of the Gentiles. Saints, we should not live in the vanity of our minds. We should not walk like the Gentiles. It should be that our friends, our co-workers, our classmates, we might be a kind of enigma to them. Something about you I think many of us have had this experience. When the day that someone found out you're a believer, or you're a Christian, and they say, I thought there was something about you. You're not like everybody else. I know when you're young, you want to fit in. We're not saying that you need to be weird. And we should be careful when we're sharing with the young people these points. Because sometimes we sow those kind of seeds. They don't understand what we mean by sanctification. But some of us have the experience. We just followed the Lord. We still had friends. But I could tell you, the Lord covered me, even as a junior high schooler. I remember several times with my quote-unquote buddies at school, I would walk into the room and they would go, oh, yeah. And they changed what they were talking about. Because they knew I'm a believer. And sometimes, again, the Lord covered me, sometimes even in high school, my friends would curse and they'd say, oh, sorry, to me. At first, I felt awkward because I'm making them feel uncomfortable. And I said, oh, that's okay. And then the Lord spoke to me. No, it's not okay. You shouldn't talk that way around me. I didn't say that to them. Don't misunderstand. But the Lord spoke to me that, and they would apologize, and I would say, I appreciate it. To maintain my sanctification. There was a wall. But we were good friends. And through that, I got at least two of my three best friends in high school. I brought them to the Lord. Because I maintained a testimony. But people should not be surprised when they find out, you're a Christian? Yeah, that's not a good response. First Peter 1:22 says, since you have purified your souls by your obedience to the truth unto unfeigned brotherly love, love one another from a pure heart fervently. Oh, saints, that we could maybe spend some time to pray over this verse in the coming days. Since you have purified your souls. Oh, Lord, purify my soul. But here it actually says, you have purified. Lord, show me how to purify my soul. Lord, show me how to purify my mind. I want to purify my mind. I want to purify my emotion. I want to purify my will. I believe the Lord will shepherd us. A, this means that to have our soul, our mind, emotion, and will purified is to have it delivered from all things other than God and fixed on God as the sole object and unique goal. When we obey the truth, the content, and the reality of our faith in Christ, our entire soul is concentrated on God and is thus purified from all things other than God. So, saints, to purify our soul does not necessarily, or I should say, it does not initially mean don't do this, don't do that, stay away from this, stay away from that. To purify our soul is to make God our only goal. Say, Lord, I want you. I want you to be first. And I want you to be second. And I want you to be third. It's not that you're first, and then I have my top 10 list. Other goals. Lord, I want only you. Amen. Then when we touch the other things, because remember, I'm a little New Jerusalem, so I have a throne, the Lord will direct us. No, not this. Can I be involved with this extracurricular activity? Maybe you're a high schooler. And there's a certain club that you're considering. And the Lord may very well give you the peace to participate. However, Maybe there are some activities in that club that the phone says no. You can't participate in that activity and still be on the golden way. So that directs you. And so you just tell your friends, I'd like to be part of this, but I'm not doing that. And you can do it with a smile. Not fearful. The Lord will cover you and supply you. He says, since the purifying of our souls causes our entire being to be concentrated on God so that we may love Him with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind, such purifying issues in unfeigned brotherly love are loving from the heart fervently those whom God loves. So spontaneously, we not only love God, we love others. Especially we love those whom He loves. Amen. That's purification. B, we need to be educated to educate others with the truth for God's testimony, His corporate expression. The 12 foundations of the holy city of the New Jerusalem bear the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb, indicating that New Jerusalem is built according to the apostles' teaching. The healthy teaching of God's economy. 2. Ezra was skilled in the law of God, which is linked to God's economy. The law is a type of Christ as God's word, God's testimony, God's portrait, God's expression. 3. By coming to Christ as the living word in the written word, He can become the applied word for us to be infused with Him to become the testimony of Jesus. So many of the Lord's dear children, including ourselves, we love the Word, we honor the Word, but we don't come to the Word in a proper way. And here the Lord instructed in John 5:39, it says, you search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, and it is these that testify concerning me. It's true. The word testifies of Christ. Of course, some people, they just take the New Testament, the words in the New Testament as Old Testament law to be a law keeper. But the Lord here is saying, actually, no. The Word testifies concerning me. Even the Old Testament is pointing to me. But what's the problem? He says, yet you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. So the Lord gives us the way. Whenever we come to the written Word, just make sure you come to Him as the living word. And what happens? Then this word becomes the applied word. And it will educate us. It will become our golden way in very many practical situations in our living. 4 says, by remaining in the unique ministry of the teaching of God's economy, we can apprehend the word's intrinsic significance to be filled with the light of life. It's hard to separate these three things. Truth, light, and life. That's because they are inseparable. When we come to the Word, if we touch the Word in the way of life, we will receive light. And that light will guide us into reality. And that's the truth. I mentioned something about how we should, Brother Lee was trying to train us to teach the young people how to touch the Lord in the Word, to bring all the things of the Word, avoiding the premature knowledge that would kill them. This is the way, brothers and sisters. Help them to touch the life in the Word. The Word brings the light. The light brings the truth, which is the reality. Then our children will walk in the truth. 5, we must learn to use the new language, the language of Judah, in the new culture, the God-man culture of the new man. Oh, what a shame when Nehemiah, he realized, I'll read these two verses, Nehemiah 13, 23 and 24. In those days, I also saw that the Jews had married women of Ashdod, Ammon, and Moab, and as for their children, half spoke in the language of Ashdod, and none of them could speak the language of Judah. But they spoke the language of the respective peoples. Among us, we want all our next generation to speak the quote-unquote language of Judah. But if we don't help them touch reality, they won't have the heart. It has to be real to them. It has to be real to them. And so many of us here, so many of us, even when we were teenagers, we touched some reality, so we know it's possible. Let's pray for our next generation. They all would speak the language of Judah. See, we need to be reconstituted with grace, which is the process, triune God, becoming life and everything to us. The 12 apostles represent the grace of the New Testament. Remember the foundations of the New Jerusalem, right? They have the names of the 12 apostles. The gates have the names of the 12 tribes. That's bringing in the Old Testament, the saints of the Old Testament. But the foundations have the name of the 12 apostles, which means what? This signifies that grace is the source, the element, and the means for producing the new Jerusalem. We need to be constituted with grace upon grace, labor by grace, dispense grace, and minister the word of grace. 3 says, the new Jerusalem is built by God's constituting himself into man, to make man the same as he is in life and in nature, but not in the Godhead, so that God and man may become a corporate entity and be a mutual dwelling place. We should do only one work, which is the work of the new Jerusalem. We need to be one with our inner operating God as he proceeds to bring his chosen ones through the major steps of his organic salvation, regeneration, sanctification, renewing, transformation, and confirmation unto glorification. Saints, we should do only one work. All our service in the church, even the children's meeting, the young people's service, the service on the college campuses, the gospel service. Every service should be doing the work of the New Jerusalem. Because everyone under our care is a being of the New Jerusalem. Amen. That should be our heart. Actually, every newborn in our midst, they haven't been regenerated yet, but we should have this view. Lord, constitute this baby in this family a being of the New Jerusalem. That's our goal. That's our goal. That everything we do eventually is doing the work of the New Jerusalem. 5 says, in this way, we ascend level by level until we reach the highest point where we become the same. There is no more flesh and no more natural being. All are in the Spirit and all are beings of the New Jerusalem. Amen. This is the highest point of God's work, and we are his fellow workers.
Amen.
So if this is the highest point of his work, and we, the Bible says, are fellow workers with him, shouldn't we be doing only this work? Six is I don't know how to describe some of this terminology. I'll just read it. The process and consummated triune God, according to the good pleasure of his desire, and for the highest intention in his economy, is building himself into his chosen people, and his chosen people into himself, that he may have a constitution in Christ, as a mingling of divinity and humanity, to be his organism, and the body of Christ as his eternal expression, and the mutual abode for the redeeming God and the redeemed man. the ultimate consummation of this miraculous structure of treasure will be the new Jerusalem for eternity.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah!
The ultimate consummation of this miraculous structure of treasure. It's amazing. We are being reconstituted as a miraculous structure of treasure. You know, we started as dust. We started as dust. But in Ephesians 1:11, we actually become His inheritance. He's our inheritance. We enjoy that. He's our enjoyment. But do you realize we will be His inheritance? How can that be unless we are reconstituted? Praise the Lord. D. We need to be fully separated unto God to be fully saturated with God. This is the wall. Now we come to Nehemiah's leadership. Living a holy life for the church life to make us the holy city. One. The renewing of the mind and the resulting transformation separate and save us from our nature and living that are soaked with the element of the world. And saints, we have to admit that at times before the Lord, we found ourselves just soaked with the element of the world. Two says, by living in our spirit and eating Christ as the hidden manna, we can overcome the world to become God's building. 1 John 5:4 says, everything that has been begotten of God overcomes the world. That means, saints, your spirit overcomes the world. So it's a choice, because we can choose our spirit. We can choose to take heed to our spirit. It's Malachi 2. When we're there at our jobs and speaking something, and maybe it's a little downtime, but the conversation, I don't know what it's about. It doesn't mean that it has to be necessarily off color or dirty, but there's something inside that says, walk away. Do you never experience that? It just says, walk away. That's enough. Take heed to your spirit. You know what that is? That's an experience of the little New Jerusalem. The golden way. The golden way is going and is making a turn. Just walk the golden way. And you know what will happen? You'll be supplied. There's a river and a tree that goes with you. And you know what just happened? You built the wall a little bit higher. A little bit thicker. Take heed to your spirit. Just take heed to your spirit. Oh, we need to eat Christ as the hidden manna. Once again, we need those times with the Lord. Those times with the Lord. By eating, we will overcome the world. Three, we need to be fully separated from the idolatrous world of Babylon, which is characterized by the wickedness of business or commerce, involving covetousness, deceit, and the love of money. Our Christian life should be without the love of money, and our Christian work should not be a money-making trade. We don't have too much time to develop, but here we have these verses from Zechariah chapter 5. Actually, maybe some of the younger ones may not be familiar. Remember, Zechariah was concurrent with Ezra. Haggai and Zechariah spoke, right, to get the people to build again. And it's interesting that in Haggai, the charge is, you run to your sealed houses. You say it's not time to build. Consider your ways. But Zechariah has this prophecy, or this vision, I should say, this vision of an ephah vessel. What is that? And there's you open the vessel, there's a woman inside. And you know what her name is? Wickedness. What is this? I only have time to refer you to the note. This is Zechariah 5:6, note 1, and Zechariah 5:7, note 1. An ephah vessel is a measuring vessel, a container able to hold one ephah, used for purchasing and selling in business. That's the connection. The vision of the ephah vessel signifies the wickedness of business or commerce on the earth. And the woman in verse 7. The woman sitting within the ephah vessel signifies the wickedness contained in commerce, such as covetousness, deceit, and the love of money. The vision here corresponds to that of Babylon the Great in Revelation 18. The two visions show that in the sight of God, the wickedness contained in commerce is a form of idolatry and fornication. Business is an adulterous woman desirous of making money. In Timothy, the Lord has, Paul spoke to Timothy, warning about the love of money, a root of all evil. Oh, I tell you, I remember growing up in the church life and things like this, brothers would mention, and I would think, at least this is one problem I don't have. I don't love money. I've come to know we all love money. And money can be a replacement. Or maybe it's the lack of money. Or you feel you don't have enough money. Or maybe you feel that the money you have is flying away. You know, it says in Haggai, you put it into pockets with holes. And the Lord stirs things in the environment where you think, oh, I have this saved. And after 5 months, oh, you only have half of it there. Anxiety comes. That anxiety shows something. Our love for security could be an idol. Don't we trust? It should not be. It should not be, saints, that only the so-called full-timers, that is the job-dropping full-timers, live by faith. We all should live by faith. We all should trust the Lord. Whether you're a teenager or a retired saint, we all trust. We're in the Lord's hands. We better move on. Sorry. Hey, Satan is a businessman, a merchant, and his thought is according to his commercial principle. Of the cargo sold by Babylon, remember in Revelation 17 and 18, you have the judgment on Babylon. In 17, it's the religious Babylon. Right? In 18, it's this Babylon, the material aspect of Babylon. Of the cargoes sold by Babylon, the first item is gold, and the last is the souls of men. Souls of men refers to men who sell themselves for employment. I don't know that any brother or sister among us would consciously, when you're taking a job, you do this realizing, I'm going to sell myself. I'm going to sell my soul. But this happens gradually. Gradually. Your time is taken. And then within, your capacity is taken. All for your job, for your future. It's all legitimate. but it hasn't passed through the examination. Oh Lord, examine me. Show me where I am. Search me, O God. Search me, O God. See, this depicts not only the coming Babylon, but also today's world. People sell their soul, their life, that is themselves, to their occupation, neglecting God and their eternal destiny. God's sovereignty will cause the wickedness in Babylon, which the people of Israel learned from the Babylonians in their captivity, to go back to Babylon, the land of Shinar. Please remember, I mentioned to you, very few hallelujahs in the Bible, in the New Testament, and they all come after Babylon is judged. Saints, when this matter of the love of money and the trust for the Lord, when this matter is settled in our being, there will be a genuine hallelujah. Because there will be freedom. You know, the love of money and anxiety are bondage. It's a bondage. E, we need to build up the wall to protect the church as the house of God. We can build up the wall through the overcoming blood of the Lamb applied to us through our repenting, confessing our sins, and asking God for His purging. We must shepherd the flock of God by sounding the one trumpet of the unique New Testament ministry, declaring to them all the counsel of God to complete the Word of God with the Lord's protective warning and healthy teaching, so that they may be full grown in Christ. 3 says, we must build up the wall to protect the church by fighting the battle in the body. Yeah. A, the body puts on the whole armor of God and renders protection to every member. We must seek the counsel and covering of the body to receive the body's protection and safeguard. Oh, I hope all the young ones among us would learn the lesson of fellowship. Just fellowship. You know, from my contact with trainees over the past 30 years, and the full-time training, I mean, one lesson that many learn here in the full-time training and in the other trainings is how to fellowship. You're blessed if you learn this lesson when you're young. How to fellowship. Because if you learn this lesson, you receive what? The covering of the body and the protection and safeguard of the body. No item is too small over which to have fellowship. You say, oh, this is personal. Yeah, but you're a member of the body, so it affects the body. B, spiritual warfare is in this principle. One will chase 1,000 and two will put 10,000 to flight. We must build up the wall to protect the interests of the riches of God's divinity on the earth and the attainments of His consummation. F says, we need to live by Christ and to live out Christ, thus magnifying Christ, so that we can build up the church as the expression of God. Is actually the first half of key statement number 3. Number 1, the wall of the city is for the expression of God. Thus, to build up the wall is to build up the church as the expression of God. Today, in His recovery, the Lord is working to restore the normal condition of Christ within the proper church as His expression. And 3, in order to express God, we need to be saved from our natural disposition and from self-likeness by living a mingled life with the divine Trinity in the blending life of the entire body of Christ. And finally, 4, in order to express God, we need to be daily sanctified and renewed by the washing of the water in the Word, to be presented to Christ, our bridegroom, as His pure, glorious, God-expressing bride. We seem to be coming back to this verse over and over again, Ephesians 5:26. Saints, this is our hope. This is our hope. He sanctify her by the washing of the water in the Word. I hope that we have seen a little something of Ezra's ministry, Nehemiah's leadership, but connected with our living out and working out the new Jerusalem. This should be our living. This should be our service. The new Jerusalem should not be something just kind of theoretical to us. We all should realize we're a little New Jerusalem. Our church is a miniature New Jerusalem. And together we are living out and working out the New Jerusalem. Amen. Let's have some prayer with some